Hi. Again, I'm Ken Burton. I'm Executive Director of the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. Hank, I'd like to thank you and allowing me this time to give a general overview of the program to you guys. Before I start, though, I'd like to invite you tomorrow from 8 to 12, Salon 4. We're going to get more into an in-depth discussion about the program, as well as have two panels, a panel of producers, as well as a panel for brands and retailers. As far as U.S. cotton and its journey to sustainability, it's started a few decades ago, believe it or not. And if you look back to the 1970s, as a lot of us in this room will remember, that our cotton producers, they started increasing their management and environmental practices. Some of it's due to government laws and regulations. Other was because of new technologies and also for just different management practices. A year ago I received this job with the council. Before that, for 26 years, I was a cotton merchant. And so this past year I was visiting with some of my producers that I used to buy my cotton from, and I was sharing with them this story about it. And one of them, who's a real close friend of mine, he says, "Ken, you might call that sustainability. I call it survival." He said, "As far as producers, we have been doing these things, but it's because we want to make sure we're in business the next year." And he's right. He's right. But it's a that message is a message that hasn't been able to resonate globally. And so we need to make sure this program's going to help spread that message as far as U.S. cotton producers, and let the world know that our producers are good stewards of the land and good stewards of the environment and good stewards to their fellow workers. So if you want to fast forward to 2013, Cotton Leads, that program helped spread this message of sustainable practices, and they shared this message with manufacturers and brands and retailers and had over 500 partners. Well, 4 years later, more and more brands and retailers are wanting a little bit more information. And so the Cotton USA Sustainability Task Force was formed. And so the first thing this task force did, they placed an emphasis on continuous improvement. How can we continually get better year in and year out? As well as the this task force set national goals for environmental metrics, with a target date of 2025. Well, you can't really have an emphasis on continuous improvement or place goals in yourself without a program in place, and that's how the Trust Protocol was born in 2018. And not only will it emphasize what I just said, but it's also going to provide the aggregate data that we'll receive and be able to help share that story again through the supply chain. So the national goals that I mentioned, which these are benchmarked against the National Indicators Report from Field to Market, these are the goals that the task force set. Land use efficiency increased by 13%, soil loss decreased by 50%, water decreased by 18%, energy decreased by 15%, greenhouse gas decreased by 39%, and increased soil carbon by 30%. And these are all we would like to achieve by 2025. By achieving these goals, the environmental footprint for our cotton industry will shrink. Now, this shows the outer blue area in the pentagram. This shows that from 1981 to 85, that shows where our production lied. Well, then through time, it's completely has shrunk due to the changes of the management styles and operations. And so the 10-year goal that I just mentioned with is that center section, light blue. So you have the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. There's two answers. What is it, and why do we need it? Well, it's a single-member LLC, and it's within the National Cotton Council. We're governed by a board comprised of growers, ginners, merchants, co-ops, spinning mills, civil societies, and brands and retailers. A lot of these institutions that are involved are World Wildlife Fund, Environmental Defense Fund, Tesco, Levi Strauss & Co., and Louis Dreyfus Company is another one to mention. And it's a voluntary farm level program designed to engage the producers in continuous improvement and also to achieve our goals and to provide that aggregate data through the supply chain. The key requirements for the producer to be a member of the protocol, he needs to complete a self-assessment against standards. He needs to use a data tool for environmental metrics. And there's a verification process by an independent party. The self-assessment questionnaire, it's nine categories with approximately 100 questions. And those categories are, it's probably hard for you to read them, I'll read them to you. Soil health, nutrient management, water management, crop protection, harvest preparation, wildlife habitat, fiber quality and traceability, farm management, and worker relations. In each one of these categories, there's two sets of sections under them, and some of them are required practices, others are recommended practices, and these questions are. For those recommended practices, the choices for the answers for the producers are, I do this now in my operation, I'm implementing it on one or more of my fields, I'll consider it in the next 3 years, and I'm not appropriate for my farming operation. It takes about 30 to 45 minutes for a producer to take the self-assessment questionnaire. Some sample questions for the soil health, the required practice, Assure Farm meets strict conservation compliance, provisions of the U.S. farm law, and then recommended practices would be prevent compaction to windbreaks, to plant cover crops, minimize plant damage from erosion. Sample questions for water management. You comply with the required practice would comply with local and state requirements on installation of new wells. A recommended practice would be use instruments to monitor soil and crop water status, as well as conserve natural rainfall. The second component to be a member, the producer has to use a data tool, more specifically the field-to-market, field-print platform, or any of the qualified data partners, and they're listed on here from LandDB, Agrible, MyFarms, TruTerra. But and so a producer needs to record his inputs into a system that measures the environmental impacts of a crop production and identify opportunities for improvement. He needs to select 10% of his cotton acreage and then input that quantitative and qualitative information into the program. Takes about 45 minutes for this to be completed. Here's an example of a field of a producer down in Louisiana who, before he entered his information into the field print platform, and conventional tillage, he included erodible areas, 50 acres, poor productivity, as well as he cultivated a crop to the bayou. He changed his management practices and went to no-till. He excluded the 50 acres and placed it in native vegetation, and then he added a riparian buffer. There's the riparian buffer. Well, what happened was it shows how the soil loss decreased, carbon index increased, greenhouse gas emissions decreased, your energy decreased, and your water quality index increased. And it's showing that improvement. And this is the this is your field print platform, and these are the spidergrams that are showing the environmental footprint of this farmer's acreage. This is something that brands and retailers would really they find this very interesting because it helps them when they're wanting to make their impact claims as a company. Data like this that we can as a protocol can make it aggregate data and provide this to the supply to up to the brands and retailers, it helps tell that story. Verification, you have to validate the accurate use of the self-assessment and also the data tool. And it's going to be a random sample of producers and will be selected each year for independent third-party verification visit. So why do we need it? You know, again, it's about that continuous improvement. This is from the, another field print, spidergram they call it. And it, it helps give that producer feedback where he maybe can look at this diagram and see areas that he can improve it with his operation. It also allows him to compare it to state or national benchmarks. Why to achieve the industry goals? The protocol with the self-assessment, when compared to our 10-year goals, you can see here where 6 of the 9 categories are directly related to our goals. Why to meet the needs of our customers? Many brands and retailers accept U.S. cotton as sustainable or responsibly produced. However, that needle is moving. It's moving more in the direction where more brands and retailers are needing to see defined standards in the verification process. So I think by 2023, 39 major brands and retailers are wanting to see defined standards in the verification process. They're needing to see a program like the protocol. So we must be flexible in the ability to pass this data through the supply chain. Another reason why we need the protocols to reclaim the market share, you know, through the years, as we all know in this room, that the synthetics have took a good bit of our market share, and a program like this might help us gain some of that back. And so that's another exciting thing, because we're always trying to look for a way to compete, and this will help. Why to be the supplier of choice? You know, the protocol is not about one grower being more sustainable than another grower, or one bale being more responsibly produced than another bale. It's not guaranteeing a premium, but it's about competing in every market and every supply chain. We don't want to be on the outside looking in. We need to make sure that we're accessible in all markets. The United States cannot afford to lose market access because of perceived lack of sustainability. So the cotton, U.S. cotton is poised to compete. You know, we're 14 million acres. We're looking at our 20 million bale plus crop, and we just want to make sure we have that demand base. We want to be able to compete in every market and every supply chain. To be the supplier of choice, we must meet the customer's needs for quality, cleanliness, timeliness, and sustainability. It allows us allows U.S. Cotton to tell an even stronger story to our customers. We have a website, trustuscotton.org. I would love for you guys to go visit it, and there's a lot of additional information, more information that I would have shared with you. There's some videos, some that producer testimonies, as well as there's FAQ section where it specifically for producers, where they're commonly asked questions and the answers are there available for them. And so by visiting with you guys, I'm asking you, for one, go visit our website and learn a little bit more about it. But as you visit with your customers, to direct them to our website and direct them and talk to them about this, because it's something that we need everybody a part. We need producers to embrace this program and be a part of it, and we need everybody to be in.
And I got a video. Merchants and consumers want sustainable cotton. The good news is we already have it. The U.S. cotton industry leads the world in sustainable initiatives, from conserving soil and water to reducing inputs and greenhouse emissions. It's why we produce the highest quality cotton on the planet, and how we're going to continue to do so. When you sign up for the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol, you're making a pledge to show the world just how sustainable we really are.
I am. Thanks, Ken. Appreciate the update and the information.